Well, it's our joy tonight to take a look at what the Lord is doing and is going to do in our church. I want to just give you a little idea of what's going on in our church. I thank God often, almost every day, for this church, for His goodness in bringing me here as the pastor, and for you and your love for Him, your love for the truth, your love for each other. Those are such a great encouragement, and I am nothing but encouraged about what's going on at Countryside. Here's just a little snapshot of a few of those things that encourage me. Of course, first and foremost for me is what's going on with the teaching here in the worship services. In the morning, we started the year with the Great Commission, the parable of the soils, and we've spent the bulk of our time in Ephesians. I'm looking this fall, sometime in September, at doing a special series on the five foundational biblical truths that have impacted me the most profoundly, and sharing them with you, because I think they shape so much of how we think about God and how we think about what He's doing in our lives. So I'm playing around with that. I think I might do that in early fall, interrupt our study of Ephesians to do that. But you can pray with me about that. And of course, in the evening, we'll continue our study in the Gospel of Mark. With the fall, of course, comes a number of startups. On September 13th, the children's ministry begins, and all of the sort of related ministries that fall out of that, and including home fellowships, our women's study. There are also some new things coming. There you see at the bottom that I'll get to in a minute, the International Friends at Countryside, but all of those ministries are going to gear up, and so if you've come to our church during the summertime, and you're not familiar with all that goes on around here, make sure you stay tuned, because there are a whole lot of ministries that you can be involved with as we approach the fall. Specifically in terms of our home fellowships, which is something we've really encouraged and emphasized as the elders, encouraged as much participation as possible, we want you to connect with other believers. We worship together, that's imperative, that's commanded. We're also supposed to have true fellowship, and it's hard to do that in a large group like this. So we encourage you to break that down, go to a home fellowship. This year, we're going to be studying 1 John in the home fellowships. You have a lot of options available, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. And as you can see, all over the Metroplex, and even in Spanish, if that's your primary language. So make sure that you plan to be a part of those. Visit around. If you aren't in connected with a home fellowship, visit a couple at the beginning of the year, sort of see one that fits, or maybe ask some of your friends where they go, and find one that would be a good place for you to plug in. But it's a great place for fellowship, to share your heart, for others to know what's going on in your life, and to pray for you. So we would encourage you to do that. A couple of new ministries to tell you about that I'm excited about. Beginning this fall is the International Friends at Countryside. Its focus is on teaching English as a second language. There are a lot of folks in the Metroplex who want to learn English and who will come to a ministry like this and be exposed through it to the gospel. And so we have some folks who've been very committed to learning how to do this, how to do it right and do it well. And they're going to be cranking up on Thursdays from 9 to 12 a.m. during the school year. And there are going to be brochures that will soon be available, little flyers that will be available for you to give out to people that you think might be interested in that in the near future. So we'll make sure, to people who might be interested in attending and learning English as a second language. We run into those folks often. And so this is a great ministry for our church. And I'm looking forward to the Lord's brought the world to us so we can evangelize the world right here in our own backyard. Another ministry that has begun just recently is Barnabas Builders, and essentially it's a group of men who've committed themselves to make necessary home repairs for those who are unable to do so, either because of financial reasons or physical hardship. And so it's really exciting to be able to help someone who can't do those things, who really needs the repair, and they have graciously volunteered their time and abilities to do that. So I'm very excited about that ministry. If you want to learn more about that, by the way, I'm assuming it'll be down at the ministry fair next week, and you can sort of fill that out. I've also mentioned to you, I think, in recent weeks about the Grace Medical Ministry. Various medical and support staff from our church will staff a free medical clinic that Grace of Grapevine holds regularly. We're going to take one night a month beginning in September. And it's a great ministry to people in our area who have no health care, have no way to, in some cases, have serious needs dealt with. And it'll just be a great encouragement to them. And of course, through that, we'll be able to share the gospel with them as well. So I appreciate those professionals in our church who are volunteering their time to be a part of that. You can be in prayer as we begin that in the fall. The midweek ministries crank up with the fall as well, from the women's Bible study, this ministry I just mentioned, the new International Friends Ministry. And then Wednesday evening, some people ask from time to time, what about a Wednesday evening service? Those of you who've been here know this, but for those of you who may be new, we don't do a Wednesday evening service, but there are several ministries here on Wednesday night during the school year. Foundations, Young Married Ministry, as well as children's choirs, the youth and the college and career, encourage you to be a part of those if you can. And then on Monday night, a ladies' BSF group from the area uses our facility to meet, and if you'd like to be a part of that, we'd encourage you to be a part of it. Special events. So far this year, we've really had some amazing things that the Lord has done here that we've been able to be a part of, starting with the SOLA conference, By Faith Alone, and the kids program that was connected to that. We remember saw Fireproof as a church, and couples were encouraged, our men's and women's retreat, the picnic we had in May, and then VBS just recently ended with the all-church barbecue and bluegrass concert tacked on the end. So it's been a busy year so far, and as we look to this fall, obviously tomorrow night's the skate night, the ministry fair's coming up, there's a couple of men's breakfasts, the countryside fair, as well as the thanks gatherings, which is a real highlight in individual homes around Thanksgiving, and the Christmas concert series. So a lot of things coming as we look to the fall. Speaking of the SOLA conference, as we look to this coming year, we continue that, and this year is Sola Gratia, By Grace Alone. It's scheduled for February 19th through the 21st, and these are the men who will be speaking for us, and really, you're going to thoroughly enjoy their ministry. Reverend Richard Phillips from the Second Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. He was formerly under James Montgomery Boyce up at 10th Street Presbyterian during his life. And so he's now down in Greenville, but you'll thoroughly enjoy his ministry of the Word. Dr. Russell Moore, the Dean of the School of Theology and Senior Vice President at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, as well as a pastor. And then Dr. John Hanna from here locally, down at Dallas Theological Seminary, professor of historical theology. So we'll get the full range of truth about By Grace Alone. You plan to be here, invite friends to come with you. Go ahead and get it on your calendar. You won't want to miss that conference series next February. A lot of things going on in missions. We are committed to missions as a church, and just a few of them to note, I want to say a special word of thanks to John Melton, our outgoing chairman of the Missions Committee, and also say welcome and thank you to Art Retier, who is going to be and is now serving in that role. And a number of things have happened this year. The Swansons, who many of you know, have known for a long time, were down in Durango, Mexico, and they have now, after 7 years, moved to Spokane, and he's going to be with Moody Aviation there at least for a while as they sort of evaluate what the Lord might have for them for the future. Then we had an offering for the pastor's libraries in French-speaking West Africa in partnership with the Newports, you remember, and you gave $9,400 to set that up. We'll distribute copies of the MacArthur Study Bible and the Epistles of Paul commentary to equip those pastors in areas all over French-speaking West Africa. A couple of other notes that I need to make. Coming up in September, and I should have added this to the events list, it's a major event, and that is our Missions Emphasis Week, September 20 through the 27th. We'll have a number of our missionaries here with us, and they'll be involving themselves in various ministries, and you'll see them and hear from them and be encouraged by how the Lord is using them during that week. I also want to mention to you, those of you who've been in our church know Konstantin Goncharov very well, and I just want to let you know that it's been a sort of agonizing decision for him and his family, but they have decided for the good of their family and their boys that they are going to relocate from Ukraine to the Charlotte, North Carolina area for about 5 years. They want to do that to see their boys through school, and so we've kind of talked that through with him along the way. We made various attempts to encourage maybe a little more time over in the Ukraine, but he really felt, and we are willing to support him in this, that it was important for him to be in the States with his boys. And so we will continue supporting him through a transitionary time where he can sort of get his feet under him here as he decides what the future holds for him over the next 5 years. But you pray for Constantine and Angela, for their family. They're flying to Charlotte, I believe, on August 15th, and will be here for the length of their visa, and then they'll need to go home for a short time, and then they hope to come back and get a longer visa and be here, as I said, for most of the education of their boys. Couple of new short-term missionaries, and I say short-term kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's not really short-term in the true sense. Tim and Molly Hines are going to be going to China. They've already been over, and they're going to be leaving for China this fall for 3 years, and it's our joy to support them, and you pray for them as they leave and as their ministry there unfolds. A couple of other things to mention to you. Been encouraging to see the short-term groups that have been involved in missions in our church. Our high school group normally goes to Mexico, but because of the unsettledness down there, they were not able to go, and so Justin and his staff talked about a way they could reach out locally, and they ended up partnering with Grace Ministries of Grapevine to reach out to the apartment complexes here in our area. Now, with Feed Our Kids, and that's what Grace of Grapevine calls it, and we've called it Feed Our Kids the Truth. It's a combination of not only feeding these some of these latchkey kids lunch during those times when their parents are nowhere to be seen, but also then giving them the gospel and ministering to them in other ways. So it's been great to do that, and the college and career still was able to send some materials down to Mexico, even though they were unable to go because of the security situation down there. Number of individuals have been involved in missions, and if you're interested in that, you ought to talk with some of these folks, because there are ways that you can, on your own schedule, get involved. Randy Wright has been to India, and as you can see, he and his wife have also been with Dallas Turner back to Kenya. Kari Chalgren over to India, Mary Van Hall to El Paso in March. She also normally goes down into Mexico, but because of the security situation, went to the El Paso area and was able to have a great ministry there. Gaynell Newport to West Africa, and Stevie Sanford to Mexico, June through December. And as you can see, we had a few of our missionaries back, and Doug and Michelle Briggs are going to be returning on furlough next year for an extended period of time, probably close to a year, and then they'll be heading back over after that. Number of local mission things, and I'm not going to go through each of these. Some of these you're familiar with and you have seen. A couple of them I've mentioned already, but it's just exciting to me to sort of see them listed out. Here are ways that we as a church are reaching into our community or attempting to evangelize our Judea, our Jerusalem and Judea. And so I'm encouraged about that. You pray for these ministries, and this next week, get around to these ministries down at the ministry fair and see how you can perhaps engage with them and serve. The Word Unleashed, the radio program, started July 20th of 08 on KVTT 91.7 FM. We're on Sunday AM at 10 o'clock for 57 or 58. I'm not sure if I remember that. I think it's 58, but it may be 57. A number of series that have aired, you can see them there. You've heard along the way and have been an encouragement either to me or to you or hopefully both. They have aired, and just to give you some idea of the response, probably the primary response we get, we've had a number of folks visit our church that I've met who've said, you know, I heard your program on the radio. But our primary response is through the Word Unleashed website, and we've had 3,900 visits there, about 1,600 unique visitors because of the radio program, and 87 have been referred from Google, and 308 from other sites to the Word Unleashed site, where they've listened to messages or learned about other things there. But there are some changes coming with the radio program. KVTT has been sold. They're going to be going to a public broadcasting group in mid-September, and we're still looking around. At this point, there are three possible local radio options, Christian radio options, and we're in discussions, and that has not yet been resolved, but you can pray about that. Also, along with that, something that's kind of taken off alongside of it is live video streaming. Right now, this is just being tested. It's not available for everyone, but basically the entire services, both all the morning services from 9 till shortly afternoon, as well as Sunday night, so the entire service is streamed, able to pick it up on the internet wherever you are around the world. And as I said, it's been tested, and it will soon be available on the website. It's amazing in today's world what you can do for a very low amount of cost. And already, that has been a wonderful ministry to those who have been able to sort of test it around in various places. So we thank God for that, and we'll keep you posted. Let me move on to the children's building. Obviously, that's sort of the elephant in the room, or on the campus, you might say. And so just to remind you of what's going on there, this is, you've seen that. That doesn't show very well. That's pink. It's not pink on my computer. It's not pink in reality either, let me assure you. So that, you can disregard that picture. This is the final elevation. We just got this recently from the architect. Basically, we asked for some changes, and I want to say thank you to the exterior committee. We've been working on this, but we asked for some changes to make it more like if we eventually build a worship center. We have a look for that, and we wanted to make sure that we came as close as we could to that. So they made some important changes to give us that look and feel, and we're excited about how it will appear once it's built and not pink. Just to show you the continuing need for this, Jonathan gave me these numbers. You can see that in every category, we're growing. And the only one where it looks like we haven't down at primary first grade, that's because we shuffled a number of them to the second service to sort of spread out the load a little bit. So we are seeing children continue to come in increasing numbers to our church, and that's a wonderful thing because that means young families are connecting to the truth of God, connecting to this church, and I thank God for it. Just to give you a little building progress, we began in late March, and so far we've completed the site work, the utility work, the retaining and planter walls, and we've also done something that's a little more behind the scenes, and that is completed the required city planning and building requirements. And so all that's been going on. It started with the groundbreaking in December, and then that's before construction begins. Just to kind of walk you through time here, there's the first real groundbreaking that took place when they really started tearing things up. And then the site work begins in earnest after that. In the very back, if you've been back there, if you've seen it from the edge of the parking lot, there are two water detention ponds that had to be put in. The city required, because of the slope of the land and the neighborhood over there behind us, they didn't want to be the brunt of water running off of our property, so that's been a part of it. Utilities had to be put in for the new building and had to be rerun on a number, basically all of them. And retaining walls had to be put in. This, we're on a hillside here. The building is going to be down, so the city required that retaining walls be built to keep the earth from literally sliding down that direction. So that's what's being built here. This is the beginning of it, and the work continues on those retaining walls. There they are pumping the concrete for those retaining walls, and there's sort of the completed look of those walls to keep the earth in check. There is the site then, ready for the building foundation. And as I mentioned to you, we have just received the building permit. So we're excited that in the next few weeks, they'll finish the final grading. You'll begin to see the property take a little more normal shape and feel. They'll pour the parking areas as well as the foundation piers and begin the slab work, and a real building will start going up out there. So we're very excited about that. The estimated cost continues to be right at $5.5 million. The good news is, because of the decreasing construction prices and because of our continuing growth with the number of kids, we're going to go ahead and plan to complete not only the first floor, but the second floor as well. There was some question about that when we began, but we're excited to be able to do that, and it's really become imperative based on the growth curve we're seeing with young families. Estimated completion date is the spring of 2010. Just to give you a picture of where we are financially on that, you can see what the donations have been, right, at a little over $2.9 million. And we have, to date, expended only $870,000 of that, a large chunk this last week for the building permit, and we still have $2 million on hand. And we'll be going through that, of course, as the building continues to go up. And eventually, we'll borrow the remainder. Major facility projects that have gone on over the last little bit, a video overflow room in the north building, that's become important, particularly during the second service. Those of you who come to the second service, you know that during the summer, it's even been a little not crowded, but certainly comfortably full, and so we're concerned about that as we approach the fall. And then we replaced the church phone system in preparation for the children's building. Another important part of the ministry here is our benevolence, reaching out to people in need. And I just want you to see where that goes. You know, we've been talking about it just in the last couple of weeks about using our resources to be generous with others. And you are, and we want to be as a church. So here's just a little report on the fiscal year to date. You can see that we've helped 69 families in our church, 26 in our community, and 6 internationally. We've dispersed $77,000 in benevolence for those needs. These are just a few of the examples you can see there. We gave $35,000 to the Briggs Clinic over in Asia to help with their ministry. $9,400 to the pastor's libraries. Grace Ministries, because of the economic downturn, had a shortfall, and the elders gave them a couple of thousand dollars toward to help with that. Kenya, $600 for their director there who was going through some difficult times, as well as Christmas gifts for Youth Village. And just some of the things that those monies end up being used for, and these again just are sample categories, but food, living expenses, car expenses, housing, clothing, emergency travel, medical, and so forth. So that just gives you a little idea of some of the ways that the monies you give in benevolence are used. Now, speaking of our financial situation, just mid-year update, just to let you know where we are, here is the general fund, October of 08 through July of 09. And you can see that the Lord has, through this very difficult financial time in our country, continued to bless our church, and we just are so grateful for His goodness to us in these times. And then here is the income statement with all funds, which of course includes some major expenditures on the building and so forth. But you can see that as well. Even with those expenditures, we're encouraged with what the Lord has done over this year in our church. So where I always like to end is reminding us that whatever's going on here that's good, I should say, is of the Lord. He is building His church. And we simply get to be a small part of that as He uses the gifts of each of us. All of us that He's put in this place, He's doing what He's doing for the advance of His name, for the advance of His kingdom, and it's a joy to be a part of it. Would you continue to pray for Countryside, continue to pray for our church, for its spiritual health, for our commitment to the truth, our love for Christ, that we would stay focused on the important things and that the Lord would continue to meet our needs as well. Let me take a minute and do that before the folks come back and lead us in worship and music again. You join me as we thank God together. Our Father, we are amazed at Your goodness toward us. We thank You for the provision that You have made. We're amazed that in these challenging, difficult financial times, You have been so faithful even on that front. But Father, thank You as well for what You have done in ministry. Just as I recount for all of us to remember what You have done already this year and the ministry that's taken place, the lives that have been touched, both here in our area and around the world, Lord, we stand in awe of how You are building Your church. We're thankful that in mercy and grace, You have allowed us to have a part, not because we have anything to offer, but because you are gracious. Lord, we thank you for all of this good news. Help us to have grateful hearts. And Lord, remind each of us individually that even as we've learned in Ephesians, the church, this church, is where you have chosen to put yourself on display. Every place where the word is taught, where Christ is exalted, where the true gospel is embraced, in every place that happens, you have chosen in a special way for that to be the stage on which you put your great character on display. Lord, may that be true in this place. May through our lives and through these ministries and through all of us together, may your glory be known. I pray that you would use these ministries for our spiritual good, for our upbuilding, but mostly, Father, for the upbuilding of the body of Christ and for the glory of our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.